How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned to the broadcast again this week. We're picking up our study here in Mark chapter 9. Verse number 11, Mark chapter 9, verse number 11. After the Peter, James, and John go with the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, as we refer to it, they see the glory of the Lord break forth. They see Moses and Elijah coming and speaking with the Lord Jesus about his death on the cross in Jerusalem. They are told by the Lord, by God the Father, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Hear his words. Hear the voice of his mouth. Hear his instruction to you." It's all about Jesus. Peter wants to say something. He doesn't know what to say. So he said, "Let's build three tabernacles. One to you, Lord. One to Moses. One to Elijah." And the Father says, "No, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, as great as those men were in their calling by the Lord, in their leadership and their service of God. The Lord Jesus challenges our brethren. He says, "Don't tell anybody until I raise from the dead." He knows that he is going to give his life, and he knows that he is going to raise from the dead. And they talk amongst themselves. It says in verse number 10, "What's he mean, raise from the dead? What's that all about?" And of course, when the Lord Jesus Christ fulfills his gospel, then they know. We pick it up in verse 11, and they ask him, saying, "Why say the scribes that Elias or Elijah must first come?" And so they, having seen Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, what's this that the scribes talk about that Elijah must come? And I think what they're saying is must come before the Messiah, because it's prophesied clearly in Isaiah, okay, that amongst others, that there would be one that would come in the power of Elijah, and which was a great power indeed. And so what is it that, explain to us, Lord, about this that the scribes say, that the scripture says, that one Elijah must first come? And he answered and told them, verse 12, "Elias verily cometh first and restoreth all things. And how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught. But I say unto you that Elias is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him." Other gospels speak in more greater detail of this, but the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the other gospels we know this, he indicates that Elijah has come. Not Elijah, the Elijah in the days of Ahab, and the great victory that the Lord wrought by Elijah in drought being upon Israel for 3 years, and then the showdown with the priests of Baal, and then the praying of Elijah for rain, and then a coming of bountiful rain upon the land, the power of God manifested, and then even Elisha becoming the prophet of the Lord after Elijah is taken up in a whirlwind unto God. He's not talking about that. The scripture isn't talking about that Elijah, but one that would come in the power of Elijah, a notable prophet indeed of the Lord, one that worked miracles and one that had power indeed with God. It tells us in the other gospels that the Lord indicates that John the Baptist is that one that is prophesied about. He did come. Now, he didn't work any miracle, but his preaching was powerful. He didn't work any spectacular thing, but he came baptizing those that repented and believed and the Messiah that he preached about. He wasn't a man that lived a life and worked and was called by God to the ministry. But John, as you remember, if you remember in the scriptures, John the Baptist was called into the ministry of the Lord even from his mother's womb. He was saved even before he was born. Remember, salvation's of the Lord, not of men. And so the Lord saved him, called him, educated him in the wilderness of Judea, and then brought him at the right time to pave and make the way ready for the Lord Jesus. He says, Elijah has come. But I say unto you, verse 13, that Elias indeed is come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they wanted or listed, as it is written of him. And so he was received by the people. He was rejected by the leadership. And then Herod got a hold of him, and by Herodias, and Herodias's the wickedness there wrought by Herodias and her daughter, John is killed. He's beheaded for the sake of the testimony of the Lord. He had told Herod that it was not lawful for him to take his brother's wife to marry. And that got him in jail. And then that woman worked deceitfulness and wickedness and had him killed. He was a martyr for the sake of the Lord, for the sake of the truth of the Word of God. And when he came to his disciples, verse 14, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. So the Lord and Peter, James, and John come down from the mount, and there's this great group around the rest of the disciples, and they're talking and discussing and questioning, said, with the other disciples. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and they running to him and saluted him. So they're there with the other apostles that remain. They're questioning with them. There's a lot of people round about. And then when they see Jesus, they go to him in greeting. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? So what are you all up to? What are you questioning about? What are you asking about? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And so this man brings his son, desires him to be healed, this spirit that is within him. He desires him to be cast out. And the disciples that remained, that did not go up on the Mount of Transfiguration, they have tried and have not been able to. And no doubt the scribes and such as that are there are quarreling with the disciples and as we would say, giving them a hard time about it. He answereth the Lord Jesus, verse 19, and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Who's the Lord speaking to? Who is it that our Lord is speaking to? O faithless generation. He rebukes them. Who is the them? Who is the them? Understand that faith in the scripture, faith, believe, trust, rest in, all those kinds of words that talk about confidence, confidence in something, someone. Understanding that in the scriptures, it's always directed towards faith, trust, belief, confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, faithless, you that are without faith in me. You that are without me, you, the generation at hand that is without faith in me. How long shall I be here with you? How long shall I suffer you to be so faithless in me? Bring him unto me. It's a rebuke. It's a rebuke unto all. The father desires the child to be healed. The apostles are unable to do so. The Lord Jesus is going to tell them why. The scribes, no doubt, have come and they're railing upon the whole situation and just sort of in great doubt about the Lord Jesus Christ. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ as it is. The Pharisees, Sadducees, religious elite and leadership of the day, they don't like the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a rebuke unto them. He's a threat unto them. And so he rebukes them all, disciples, apostles, multitude, religious leaders and elite. He rebukes them all. He says, bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, the Lord saw the boy, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And so this wicked spirit within the boy tears a terrible fit again, and he asks his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Now, is it such that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't know? The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't know, but you and I don't know. And so the Lord asks, and he says he's from a child, from being little, this demon has possessed him. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and to the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And so the Father pleads our Lord, have compassion on us. If you can do anything to help us, have compassion on us and help us. If you can do anything, please, please do it. A love of a father for his child. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So if you believe, and again, that's that word believe, associated with faith, trust, have confidence in. If you can believe in me, all things are possible to the one that believeth in me. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Help, Lord. I believe. Help my unbelief. And you know, that's the place that all of us need to come to. We are so fraught with doubt indecision. Doubt and not being sure in the promise and the word of the Lord. And this man says, Lord, I believe. I believe you can do it. Help me where I don't believe. Help my unbelief in it. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, and so much that many said, well, he's dead. It killed him. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Faith in the Lord. Looking to the Lord. Prayer and fasting before the Lord. All these things pointing to our need of the Lord. Sinner, are you without Christ? Do you know that you need the Lord? Oh, we point you to him. Indeed, you do need him. Repent of your sins and believe his gospel for the salvation of your soul. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe in him. Trust in him. All things are possible to him that believeth in Christ. I see that our time is past for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.